Now again, thank you very much for coming to be with us tonight. We've had a very enjoyable day today, listening to the ministry of the Word of God and the responsible brethren for this conference. And the Christians here have such a keen feeling for you tonight, if you are not saved, that they have designated this next half hour for the preaching of the gospel. People often ask the question, why so many Christians here? Why would they come if they're already saved? Why would they attend a gospel meeting? Well, anybody that's saved knows why they attend a gospel meeting, because they love it. I love to sit in a gospel meeting and hear others preach the gospel. There's nothing like it. I love the ministry of the Word of God. I love the teaching of this book. And we love to teach it. We love to preach it. But there's something about the gospel. So thank you so much for coming tonight. If you have any questions about what you may hear during this service, please feel free to make that known to us at the close of the meeting, and we'd only be too glad to speak to you. And we give you a hearty welcome for coming tonight, and remind you of the gospel meeting again tomorrow night at the same time.
4:30.
Sorry, 4:30. It is 4:30 tomorrow afternoon, and you'd be more than welcome to come back. I want to read with you in a little prophecy called Lamentations. Maybe not easy to find in your Bible, but if you go to the middle of your Bible, you'll likely have the Psalms, or maybe Proverbs, Isaiah. Just keep turning, and you will come to a prophecy called Jeremiah. And just after that, a book called Lamentations, and they are the lamentations of this prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a man that spoke very affectionately and tenderly. He is often referred to as the weeping prophet. These are his lamentations. We're going to read one of his lamentations, and it is in Lamentations 1 and verse number 12. Now let me tell you to begin with that in the context, the teaching of the passage, he is referring to a city, the city of Jerusalem, and to the judgment that awaits that will befall that city. But it goes beyond that. The prophets often, and they admitted themselves that they wrote beyond their own understanding, their own experience, guided by the Spirit of God. So I'm going to apply this tonight to the Lord Jesus. Lamentations 1 and verse number 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevailed against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. Particularly the question that opens this verse in verse number 12. These words, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? If you were to read the gospel accounts of the crucifixion, you'd read about a very momentous scene. Different actors, if we could call them that. They weren't intentionally acting, but they come onto the scene at Calvary. A lot of people didn't know what to do when they saw that crucifixion. They'd never seen a crucifixion like this. Well, they witnessed, some of them would come out of curiosity. Nobody ever left this place, Calvary, laughing. Nobody ever left it looking upon it as a joke. It was a very solemn reality. And sometimes there would be relatives that would come, and we are told, and would gather to watch an execution take place at Calvary. People did not die there by lethal injection. They died there by crucifixion. One of the most horrid deaths possible for a human being to die was the death of crucifixion. So much so that the Word of God says, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. Well, I'm here to tell you from the Word of God tonight, as four gospel writers will tell you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do not tell you everything. All of them don't tell you the same thing. Different aspects of it is true. Different events that happened in the Lord Jesus, some of them are omitted, others are mentioned. But they all mention Calvary. They all mention the truth of the cross. Do you know why that is? Because, my friend, that is central. That is the Everest of the truth of this book, that God sent his Son into this world to die on the cross so you, girl, tonight could be saved. Know your sins forgiven. Go back home, whether it be to Detroit or to Iowa or wherever it might be, with something that you didn't come with, and going home with something you did come with. If you're not saved tonight, friend, if the story of the crucifixion, the cross, has never touched your heart, nothing drawn out to it, you are still in your sins. And said the Lord Jesus, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. You cannot come. So you've come to this meeting tonight, if not saved, you've come with your sins. You are in your sins. Do you realize tonight, you could happily leave this auditorium tonight, leave this large company without those sins, without saying a prayer, without coming forward. We don't encourage people to do that. But it's happened many times. Love to happen more. Someone come to a gospel meeting, unbeknown to us. People that I have known is sitting in a gospel meeting, and I must tell you that I have not preached at them, but I felt I preached for them with a love to their soul, unmoved, untouched. But sometimes just a young girl, a young boy was drinking it all in. And they kind of stalled around at the back after. They said, I want to tell you something. And no idea. Yeah, faith is so... We talk about faith. Do we talk about it? And they'll come up and start to cry and say, I got saved in that meeting tonight. I wonder if that'll be your experience. Listen, my girl, let me speak to you as if you're my granddaughter or my daughter your age. I can't think of anything more horrific than for someone knowing what you know in this meeting tonight to die in your sins and go down to hell. I've said it from this platform, other platforms before. Well, let me say it again. I meet a lot of people. I have no difficulty speaking with people. I've approached a lot of big men in my day, men that could take me down easily. Men that could curse and swear right in my face even though I rebuked them. Rebuke them again for it. Somehow I have to admit to you, whether this is a proper confession for a gospel preacher to make or not, I'm not sure. Somehow I can visualize those people, those men in hell, cursing the name of God, blaspheming it. Just the way they live their manner of life, godless, reckless. But you know what I have trouble with? I have been preaching this for 40 years. I have trouble visualizing a girl in hell. I'm sorry. We have girls in the family. I used to look at them with their long hair and think, is that where she's going to be? Where are you going to be? You know what it'll depend on? More than just your attitude, more than just your approach, but your reaction to what happened at Calvary. We have read of a passing scene. People who walked by, people sat down and they smote upon their breast. Others didn't know what to say or what way to look or what to do. So they just passed by. But the prophet here is addressing a particular group of people. It meant nothing to them. It meant nothing to them. Not even a ritual tear was shed. Not even a second look. As far as they were concerned, this is the one that claimed to be the Son of God. Let him be crucified. Hadn't changed their minds. The soldiers hadn't. The nation hadn't. Have you? It was labeled the saddest procession in the world. And you don't have to be a British citizen to know that, but we have some in the meeting tonight. And it was the burial of Princess Diana. I only watched a clip of it on TV in a house. It was in a story that I was in. And I can remember seeing that scene in that polished carriage carrying the remains of that famous princess. As Britain lined that street, thousands upon thousands of people, all you could hear was the hooves of those horses and the wheels of that carriage as it made its way to that little island right near where she lived, where she was raised, and where her body was buried. And then they broke out into a wail. Yeah, the Britons have a heart. And they wailed. You know what they called? They said, Diana, we loved you. Diana, we loved you. Who cries that at this scene? No, you weren't in the procession over in the United Kingdom when she died. Some of us remember right where we were and we heard the news. I remember I was going through the breakfast lineup at the Clemensville Conference. One of the overseers of the assembly leaned over to me and he said, Princess Diana died this morning. Hardly take it in. So you weren't in that procession. I wasn't. Let me ask you, are you in this procession? Are you here? Are you passing by? Is it possible, with all the gospel you've heard, with all the messages that you've listened to at a Sunday school, that you'll still pass by? Nothing registers? Nothing takes home in your conscience? Nothing get a hold of you? Nothing makes you stop for a moment, just a moment? You see, that's the purpose of a gospel meeting, is to bring your experience to a screeching halt. Because, my friend, you will be stopped. And to ask yourself, well, why did he die? Why did he die? You ever ask that question? Ever in the darkness of your soul? Or you ask it when it's too late. If not saved, you're in this procession tonight. The world rushes madly to its place, to its interest. There you are. And over you tonight could be written, so true, just like these people. Three things. No interest. No involvement. No intention. We live in a world that doesn't want to get involved. First time I ever had a series of meetings in this hall, a number of years ago. Told the story about Kitty Genovese. You wouldn't remember it unless you were living in 1964 or read about it since. Kitty Genovese was a pretty girl, and she often did her jogging through Central Park in New York. This particular summer evening, Kitty was doing her jog. And out of the bushes from nowhere, in that very popular New York City park, a man pounced on her, Vincent Mosley, knocked her to the ground, almost unconscious. She got away from him. He went into hiding, came out again, second time. Went on for about an hour. The third time he stabbed her to death. Boy, you say, how brutal, how cruel, how cold. Let me tell you something colder. That the New York City Police Department went around to all those apartments. When that was happening, people heard the screams. You know what they did? Shut the windows to put the screams out. Others pulled the blinds. Others shut the lights out. We're not home. And the chief detective asked these people, "Was there not? Could you not call? Did you not make a call? Why?" Didn't want to get involved. Listen, friend, you don't have a choice in this one. You're involved here. You are involved. Because, my friend, it was your sin, my sin, that caused his death. You're involved in Calvary, young man. It's a passing scene. And the purpose of getting to the gospel meeting is just to get you to stop. Think about it once more. Maybe your last opportunity. Maybe never to think of it again. Maybe never to sit in a gospel meeting again. Not by choice, but because of this pillar that we have so vividly on this chart. Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And my friend, tonight, you don't have a choice when it comes to being involved. A man in the north of Ireland that I would not know personally was in the Branbridge Assembly. There's a man by the Mr. Dyack. He was a businessman. He's approached by another believer. He says, I got to talk to you. He says, look, he said, I'm in a rush this morning. He said, I'm sorry. Come to the office. He said, I can give you the morning if you want. No, he says, I got to talk to you. I says, okay, make it quick. He said, I can do that. He said, your sister and her baby were just killed in a car accident. What happened to the 10 o'clock appointments? What happened to the time schedule? Think he looked at his wristwatch? He said, what? Say that one more time. Now, what stopped that pressing businessman with his appointments and errands? What stopped him? He was involved in the death of someone very close to him. My friend, tonight, you're involved in the death of someone very close to you. Do you know how close he is? He says that if you open your heart tonight to him, if you trust him, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Thank God. Thank God he ever passed my experience. Never will I forget. Never will I ever cease. I hope never to thank him. You know, he would come on blind people. He didn't pass them by. But people pass him by. He'd come on people that had no money. They were an embarrassment to society. Never passed them by. He stopped for them. He always had time for them. You'll pass them by? Why? Why do you keep doing that? Do you not realize? Do you not understand, young man? It'll come for the last time. The last time you'll pass them by.
It may not be in the gospel meaning. You could be like a friend of mine in Iowa. I see a text on the highway. That stopped him. Tim Berry, a good friend of mine that lives in Toronto, that lived in Nova Scotia. Every preacher in the country went down to Clemensville for gospel meetings. We're sure that Tim Berry would get saved. His friend drowned right in his arms. He couldn't save him. We thought, that'll speak to Tim. That'll speak to Tim. I'm going to admit that to you. You know what did speak to him? A little house there in Clemensville, Nova Scotia. He's washing one morning before he went to work, and there was a text on the wall, maybe 6 inches square. I forget what the verse was. Tim got saved that day. You know what happened? He decided, I passed this too many times, and so have you. So have you. And so did I. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? You see, friend, we're either drawn by one of two things. We're drawn by attraction or distraction. There's so many things in this world today that distract us. These things, and I got one of them on my belt too. They're a very bad distraction, called a cell phone, supposedly a smartphone. Not so smart. There's other things that attract us. We're drawn to them. When it comes to Calvary, it was neither. They're neither attracted to it or distracted by it. It was just so neutral. And there was the best of the best. The politicians were there. The army was there. The priests were there. His family were there. All kinds of people were there. Not everyone perished. That's the hope of the gospel meeting tonight. Is you don't perish. That you'll stop. And my friend, understand this. Salvation is not in you, like I used to think, of trying to get some vision of Calvary into your mind. If I could get it there strong enough, long enough, and I trusted it, I'd be saved. Now, my friend, it's taking God's word for it. That when Jesus died for me. It'll be 2 weeks ago, I guess tomorrow night, in East Rutherford, New Jersey, at the big MetLife Stadium where the Super Bowl was played. I was not so interested. I don't follow it that close. Not so interested in whether Seattle or Denver would win that. I know the outcome of it. But what did interest me, an airport that I landed in many, many times because it's near my sister and her brother-in-law in New Jersey, Dave and Mary Zudema, is called the Teterboro Airport. There were 600 corporate jets that came in for that occasion. After they landed, you know what they argued about? Who was first going to be to go out? 600 corporate jets. Run out of places to park them. Everybody was there. It was the Super Bowl. The actors were, the actresses were there. The wealthy. You know what those tickets cost? You're just across that Hudson River in a Manhattan apartment that cost $10,000 a month. There was an actor that wasn't at the Super Bowl this year. One of the most gifted, talented actors that this world has ever known. Philip Seymour Hoffman. A man, they said, that could control and command any camera. That's Mr. Hoffman. And he lay on the bathroom floor in his boxer shorts and a t-shirt with a needle in his arm, doing heroin. 46, 47 years of age. He died at the time the big game was starting, but for him the big game was over. Did people say, hey, we're not going tonight. Guess what happened to Hoffman? We're canceling out. We're not. The game went on. Did it matter? No, it didn't matter. Really. Understand the cold world that we live in. My friend, listen, coldness can pass for anybody except this one. You can get away with it. You can adopt a cold attitude to even people dying. I've got friends of mine that are in the police force and in the ambulance. And they don't get used to it. They can become hardened to it. My friend, you can take any kind of an attitude to anyone else but this one. This is the moment. This is the dividing line between heaven and hell. This is what divides time from eternity. This is what decides where you're going to be forever. Is what you do with the man that hung on this cross. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go tonight to your bed with something in your heart that attracts you to a one that gave his life for you that didn't have to. To one that so loved you, a God that so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Realizing, I'm not passing him by. I've done this too many times, not this time. And this would come the night when you would come to trust Christ as your Savior. A man that visited Gordon's Calvary came back, he said, I was so disappointed. He said, I really believe I was at the place where the Son of God was crucified. But he looked down at the foot of that hill, and the buses were going, the city was carrying on, and everybody was honking at everybody. They were in their way, and little things were mattering. Not anybody mattered about what happened at Calvary. Remember that those young fellows that were touring the UK? Was it just 2 years ago? Just coming to my mind now. They came on this group, and there's this tree right in the center of England. And the tour guide was there. These young men come up. They were young Christians, just in their 20s. And they listened in a little bit on what the man had to say. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, announcing to you again, this is the center of the earth. This is the center of your world. This is where meridian meets time, right here at this tree. One of those young Christians stepped forward, took a lot of courage. Excuse me, sir. I want to tell you about another tree that divides far more than that. It was the tree in which God's Son hung at a place called Calvary, down outside a city called Jerusalem. My Savior died on that cross. That's the meridian for me. That's the great leveling point for me. That means everything to me. The crowd walked away. Nobody said a word. The tour guide was speechless. You can't fight that. Now let me just go down this audience here. Right from the front here, right to the back. What's the cross mean to you, dear? No, you don't have to look at me. You can look down. You can look away. You can pretend it didn't happen. You can look at that chart tonight and put over it what a lot of people do. And even over the whole message of the gospel, one big question mark. And my friend, and consign yourself to the eternal burnings in hell and the lake of fire. Make no mistake about it, my friend. And get it clear. God doesn't send anybody to hell. The Bible doesn't support it. He doesn't even send people to heaven. On the brighter side of it, you know what he does? The Bible tells me he carries them there. He takes them there. That's a wonderful thing. When it comes to hell, my friend, you send yourself there. You sign your own death warrant for eternity. Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Here's this prophet. I see the tears fill up in his eye. I knew he thought of that city that thought so much of itself, just like you. It was so proud. Thought somehow it would work out. Somehow. Like, I'm speaking to anyone in this large company tonight that visualizes themselves being in hell. Somehow, some way, you're going to be saved. Sorry. I've taken funerals of more than one that thought that way. I've taken funerals of people that I thought I would lift the phone someday and they're going to tell me they trusted Christ, but it hadn't happened. Ever happened with you? Will it? Or is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, and see if there be any sorrow like his under my soul. Let me just tell you very quickly, and I've run out of time. He's not looking for sympathizers. Not looking for sympathizers. You know what he's looking for? Sons. He's looking for some that would trust him. Some like the centurion that said, truly, this was the Son of God. And trust him for all eternity. And the Bible says you'll be saved. Remember, he passed nobody by. He left nobody. Somebody passed him by. Don't pass him by tonight. Stop, my friend. He stopped. Came and he stood still, says the scripture. He stands and he waits for your response, but you trust him tonight and he become your Savior. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow tonight to thank thee for a passing Savior. Oh God, that has passed this hall in this way so many times, passed the experience in the hearts of a good number in this gospel meeting, and none of us deserved it, Lord. Had we passed it once in our ignorance, and in our darkness, should have been enough, and it would have been enough to send us to hell forever. We thank thee, Lord, for that moment.
Well, we in our experience stopped for the Son of God, trusted him. Tonight we're saved, going to heaven. We thank thee, our Father, he'll never pass us by again. Lord, look upon us. Bless this meeting. What a delightful weekend it would be, not just because we're preaching here tonight, Lord, but to get some news to hand that some dear dark soul had come to trust the Savior. In his name we ask, amen.